You're listening to Speaking Of by WFSU Public Media. Some might say the topic of free speech and government censorship is as American as apple pie. Gina Jordan serves up a warm slice of that conversation with reporters Regan McCarthy and Tristan Wood. They'll talk about the First Amendment and what we mean exactly when we talk about free speech.
Hey Regan, free speech.
Ooh, yeah.
Do we have it?
Interesting question.
I think not, to a certain extent.
Yeah, so free speech does not necessarily equal, like, speech free from consequences, right?
Right.
And so I think, of course, the assassination of conservative activist Charlie Kirk has brought a lot of this conversation to the forefront recently.
Yeah, no question. Kirk's murder was shocking. He was only 31. He had a young family. He was a popular podcaster. He founded this nonprofit, Turning Point USA, where he got to promote conservative politics among young people. And he really enjoyed having open debates on college campuses.
Right. And he was certainly polarizing to a lot of people in that many people adored Charlie Kirk. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people thought his words were hateful.
Yeah. Yeah. I've seen an array of social media posts and comments praising him and disparaging him. And we've heard about people getting in trouble for that.
Right. And so I think what's really interesting now is how discussions about free speech surrounding Charlie Kirk's murder are moving forward. We've heard these issues about this happening all around the country.
Yeah. So the big thing that has happened locally is that the Republican Party of Florida has issued a strong statement calling for Leon County School Board member Daryl Jones to resign because Jones made a comment on a social media post where he referred to Kirk as racist and misogynist and homophobic, and he criticized Florida's education commissioner for saying that teachers should not comment on Kirk's murder.
It's interesting to hear how people in our community are reacting to that. And I know our intern, Brooke Miotti, met with resident Elisa Nolly to talk about that in Cascades Park and asked her opinion about all of this.
I think everyone has the right to free speech, but I think unfortunately with that right does come some natural consequences. Definitely, I think a lot more people are willing to speak their mind on social media because they're not face-to-face with someone. Rather than when they're face to face, they may be less likely to say what they really believe. I think the school board member does have the right to say what he believes about that situation, and I don't really think that that should have an effect on his career or his personal life.
So interesting observations there, and we should add that we reached out to Florida Republican Party Chairman Evan Power and Leon School Board member Daryl Jones for interviews. Neither responded to our requests.
Yeah, so aside from political groups that we've seen sort of clamping down on this issue in different ways, we've also seen the government taking action.
Yeah. Florida Education Commissioner Anastasio Tsimoutsis sent a letter to the state's public school superintendents saying that teachers who celebrate Kirk's death could lose their jobs and lose their teaching licenses.
Right. And we've heard about a handful of Florida teachers being investigated by the Department of Education for potential removal over their social media remarks. Governor Ron DeSantis says he supports these investigations and possible firings.
I would not want my kids in a classroom being taught by a teacher who thought it was fit to revel in the assassination of a young father of two. I don't think that's appropriate.
I've also heard from the governor that he supports firing nurses and government workers over similar posts.
Well, we just heard about a former state government employee in Bay County who's suing the Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission because she was fired over a social media repost.
And we've seen fallout from this nationally. We all know ABC suspended talk show host Jimmy Kimmel after his comments on air, and that all came under pressure from the government. And then, of course, ABC reinstated him. MSNBC political analyst Matthew Dowd was also fired for on-air comments. And other public figures around the country have also lost their jobs.
Yeah. So we had questions about free speech, potential consequences, and government action surrounding perceived free speech. Tristan Wood posed these questions to Aaron Turr. He is the director of public advocacy with the national group FIRE. That stands for the Foundation for Individual Rights and Expression.
First off, let's start with the Jimmy Kimmel situation, like how it's unfolded. What does FIRE make of it?
Yeah, Chairman Carr was, he was following a familiar script here. Time and again, he has used his office to investigate or threaten broadcasters whose reporting or commentary displeases the president. So this was really just the latest move in a campaign of escalating attacks on media outlets or commentators the administration would like to silence. And now it even includes comedians. I would say the other most high-profile example was the pressure and coercion of CBS over its 60 Minutes interview of Kamala Harris, where CBS made, I think, what many would consider a routine edit to one of her answers, but that President Trump claimed made her look better and more articulate than she actually is. And this was during the 2024 presidential campaign. So Trump sued the network over that interview at the same time that the FCC opened an investigation into CBS over that interview. And while CBS's parent company, Paramount, had a pending merger that needed the FCC's approval. And so the FCC ended up holding up that merger until Paramount agreed to settle the president's lawsuit. And so the whole situation just reeked of extortion and coercion of a private broadcaster to pay a hefty settlement over the exercise of its First Amendment protected editorial discretion.
Beyond this, like the response to Charlie Kirk's assassination, free speech around it, you've seen schools around the country, but especially in Florida, with like teachers being suspended. I believe in Alachua County, a school board member that is being pressured to resign by the state government here because of their statements. What do y'all make of that?
Yeah, I mean, there's been in Florida and around the country extreme pressure on school districts and other public employers to fire their employees over comments that they've made about Charlie Kirk or his assassination, which, to be clear, was a horrific act of political violence, which really has no place in this country and ideally would be roundly condemned. But I think what's concerning is that the administration and other officials at the state and local levels are seizing on this tragedy and the things people are saying about it to enact their own program of censorship, which is itself something that is going to intimidate Americans into self-censorship, into feeling that they don't have the ability to speak freely. And that's a problem, particularly when it comes to public employers, because Americans don't forfeit their First Amendment rights just because they take up a job with the government. They still retain the right to speak as citizens off the clock on matters of public concern. And I think the problem here is that there's this pressure coming from the highest levels of government to fire these employees simply because of disapproval of their opinions or what they said, and not really on any careful case-by-case assessment of whether what they've said has caused a serious disruption to the classroom environment or has otherwise seriously impeded the teacher's ability to do their job effectively, which is really what you need to look at in these cases, and not just whether officials or some number of outsiders egged on by politicians or a social media influencer disagree with what this person said and are demanding to get them fired.
Something else I've seen online is like people comparing this to like quote unquote cancellations from the left that has happened in like previous years. What do you make of those comparisons?
I think that there are some parallels to the extent, at least to the extent that you're talking about what's happening in the private sector, where you have a lot of private businesses as well that are parting ways with their employees, often in response to this intense political and social pressure. Now, of course, that's different than when public employers are doing it, because public employers are part of the government. And when they do it, that's a serious a First Amendment issue. I think, it's not to minimize the concerns about what's often referred to as cancel culture, among private businesses or platforms. Because even though they may not be bound by the First Amendment, I think that we still want to live in a country where Americans generally feel like they have wide freedom to speak and that their ability to express an honest opinion about politics or another issue of public concern isn't going to lose them their job and their livelihoods. But I think what is different about this time around is the involvement of the government. And that really just amplifies the chilling effect in a way that's deeply concerning.
What advice would FIRE give to teachers that are like going under the microscope of these government entities right now for their speech?
My advice would be to seek a lawyer, to contact a civil liberties organization like FIRE, who can potentially help you through this time and help you defend your rights. But what I hope doesn't come out of the situation is that Americans, by and large, feel like they have less freedom to speak their minds. And I think no matter what you might think about any particular public employee or teacher and what they said, and whether you're sympathetic to it, we need to be concerned about the precedent that's being set when the government goes after people because it considers their views offensive or hateful. That's setting a precedent that will potentially outlast this current moment and be used against all sorts of other people for saying different things about different issues, and will potentially be weaponized by future administrations in the opposite political direction. And so I think that's why it's always important to keep the long view, to zoom out from the specific facts of any case, and remember that we're protecting a principle here that ultimately protects all Americans' right to speak freely.
A bill was filed in the Florida legislature that would prohibit on K through 12 and college campuses the posting of campaign signs, distributing campaign literature, campaigning for or with candidates, collecting campaign donations or contributions, voter registration events that involve a candidate or a political party. And it would only allow candidates to come on campuses to speak about their campaigns if all candidates in the races are invited to come speak at some time on that campus in writing. Does that type of bill remind you of anything that's been published anywhere else around the country? And what's your initial reaction to that type of legislation?
I haven't looked closely at this particular bill, but based on what you're describing, I mean, it does sound like it has some constitutional problems. We have seen before where colleges will try to limit political or election-related speech by student groups and organizations, on the theory that the university itself, as a tax-exempt institution, cannot engage in these sorts of partisan political activities. But that's a mistake because that doesn't apply to students or student groups that are independently engaging that sort of activity, not on behalf of on the university. So we've had those sort of cases before at FIRE where we've had to remind universities that there's a difference between you doing it as an institution and members of your community doing it independently.
Related to these teacher situations, the pressures from the federal and state government around freedom of speech, is there anything I didn't ask about that you think is important to include?
I would say that before we spoke, I just looked up the latest of what's happening in Florida. And, I saw this story about there was a teacher, I think an adjunct teacher in Jacksonville, that was recently reassigned and is under investigation after she accused a council member of being racist because of amendments that he proposed to the city's budget that would ban funding for services for illegal immigrants and DEI programs and some other items. It struck me that this is another example of how these campaigns of retribution quickly expand beyond what people consider the most horrible or unsympathetic speech. This might have started with people who were openly celebrating the assassination of a political activist. But look how quickly it expanded to people who were merely criticizing his views or his influence on American politics. And now we see teachers that are being investigated and punished just for criticizing government officials and accusing them of being racist. I mean, this is speech that is well within the core, the type of political speech that the First Amendment was designed to protect. And I think it's just a reminder of how quickly these witch hunts can get out of hand and how dangerous it is for the government to have power to limit speech deemed offensive or controversial, because there's no limiting principle to that. And it just opens up this Pandora's box of censorship that becomes very difficult to close.
What advice would you give to just your everyday person in a time when this is going on?
Well, I hope people will still feel that they I hope people that will still have the courage to speak their minds. It's obviously a calculation that everyone has to make, whether or not to think about the possible consequences that they might face. But one thing I would encourage people to do is to defend, speak out vocally in defense of people who are under fire for their constitutionally protected speech, for speaking their minds, even and especially if you disagree with what they said, because I think that shows that we as a country are committed to the principle of free speech and not just cynically invoking it as a political cudgel, not only, using it and invoking it to help our political allies. If we invoke it and stand by it, even when people we strongly disagree with are being punished, then it shows that we really care about it as a principle. And it sends a message to the government that this is unacceptable. And even people on your own side of the political aisle are not going to stand for this. Because ultimately, in a democracy, we have to have some ground rules. We have to have some principles that we can agree upon so that our democracy can function. And one of those is that we resolve our disagreements in the arena of public debate and not through censorship and government coercion.
So that was Tristan Wood. Thank you, Tristan, for sharing that chat with Aaron Turr of the national group known as FIRE, the Foundation for Individual Rights and Expression. Next, we're hearing from Democratic gubernatorial candidate David Jolly. He's been traveling the state and weighing in on free speech following Charlie Kirk's murder.
Definitely, this is an issue that is top of mind for a lot of folks.
So Jolly offered his views on the Deeper Dive with Derek Ham podcast from our partners at the News Service of Florida. He also revealed how Kirk's assassination prompted him to assess whether he wanted to remain in the governor's race. Here's an excerpt.
We're seeing a crackdown on speech that's unbelievable.
It's vicious.
I mean, as a journalist, I'm watching this and it's happening in rapid fire so quickly that, it's now even just quoting his own words is, I mean, what happened to, like, we don't do cancel culture?
I worry in this moment how we get out of it. And I think it's okay to recognize the uncertainty of it. I think those who think the answers are easy are overlooking the earnest convictions on all sides of this, mm-hmm. the feeling of right and self-righteousness. Mm-hmm. I worry about the constitutional violations that we are seeing from government right now, cracking down on speech, our own attorney general having to admit that she didn't understand the constitutional protections that should be allowed for speech when she said they're going to come after hate speech. Hate speech isn't unconstitutional. If so, a lot of people would be in jail on all sides of this debate right
Skokie,
now.
Skokie, Illinois,
that's,
my friends.
That's right.
Skokie, Illinois.
Here's what I would offer.
Before your people were born,
yeah.
Before Charlie Kirk was born, but, that's...
Yeah, there's a lot of healing that needs to happen, and I don't know that one single election or a candidate emerges to heal this, but here's what I would say, and it is most important to my Republican friends to hear this. If my Republican friends truly wish to honor the legacy of someone that they revere in Charlie Kirk, they should welcome all voices into the public arena, not crack down on it. Because Charlie's mission—
It was his shtick.
That was his shtick if you listen to Republicans. Now, I would also ask my Republican friends to earnestly try to understand how hurtful some of Charlie Kirk's words.
Yeah, I think that we have
people.
To put it in the context,
But the only way to finally understand that is to honor his legacy by inviting into the arena those voices of dissent right now who are trying to tell you why they disagree with the direction the country's taking. I worry about what Republicans are doing right now in the aftermath of the assassination.
What do you think the impact, do you think that his death, I mean, it's early now, we're creeping up to just a year away from the general election. Yeah. It seems amazing to me that we're that close. But right now, as we hear today, what impact do you think his death and the reaction to it will have on the 2026 election here in Florida?
My fear is more violence. My fear is more violence. And my fear, based on what we're seeing at the hands of government, is more investigations into political candidates. If they are willing to crack down on media, if they are willing to crack down on private companies and private employees, I'm afraid they're also going to start to crack down on candidates for speech. That's the trend line. That's one of my fears. Now, if your question is getting to what is the political impact, I think it's too early. Mm-hmm. I think it's too early. My concern, my real concern, as I mentioned earlier, I don't believe a single election fixes this. I don't think a candidate emerges that heals this. Ultimately, this is going to be on us, how we figure it out. Now, I would say we have had moments of uncertainty before in American history where we take a step out not knowing where it's going to lead us. And it's okay to embrace that uncertainty, but I think we always have to return to our values. What are the values that we should hold and we do hold? And again, to my friends on the right, if one of those values is free speech, then embrace that right now. Embrace free speech for everybody. If there is a value that the Constitution should provide protections or that the economy should work for everyone, that religious freedom is important, what are those values that we can agree on in a moment of uncertainty and step out together, commit to condemning violence and hate on all sides, try to quiet those voices as John McCain famously did at a town hall, don't excite them and amplify them and fuel them. We have to do that together. I would say it's too early for us to be able to see that.
Right, sure.
Now, but that's has to be where this ends up.
You're a candidate. You have two young children. Are you concerned about your own safety as you travel around a state this size where people are so divided at this time?
Have I considered dropping out of the race? Yes.
Before or after his?
After. Is that an honest, raw conversation my wife and I have?
Yeah.
Yes, it is. I'm in this race in part because, as I once told my daughter, if you have a chance to change the world, you take it. And I believe we have a chance to change the direction of Florida. And if we do that, it will be an earthquake in American politics, a wake up in American politics.
That was Democratic gubernatorial candidate David Jolly on the Deeper Dive with Derek Ham podcast. You can hear that episode wherever you get your podcasts. Regan, thanks for this chat about free speech.
Yeah, thank you, Gina.